Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good buddy Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider. So, Mike, all the talk has been about Devontae, and we heard from Kevin Harlan a little bit earlier saying Devontae kind of lets it out of the bag that this thing's pretty serious, and a lot of people shocked if he returns in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks even, you know?
Right. I mean, just ask Julio Jones of the Falcons. He went through this for several weeks a couple of years ago as well. And turf toe is a serious injury. I just came from practice. They're indoors. It's really gray, cloudy, and rainy, about 48 degrees. So LaFleur took him inside the Hudson Center today. Darnell Savage, the safety, he didn't practice. Robert Tonyan, the tight end, he's dealing with a hip injury. Tony Brown still got a hamstring. He's this guy has really helped out in special teams and obviously a defensive back. And Devontae Adams, who was at his locker yesterday and turned and we said, hey, you know, can we talk to you? And it started out with kind of a funny question from a young TV reporter with Devontae.
I guess the obvious question that everybody wants to know, are you going to play Sunday? Or Monday, excuse me?
No, I won't be playing Sunday, that's for sure. But Monday, I'm not sure just yet. It is a major injury, so the issue is that people hear turf toe and think it's just a jam. Turf toe means that you strained, which means you tore something. So that's you can Google that, so that's not me giving you anything too spicy today. I know you guys just got real excited about that, but that's what turf toe means. It means that you strained or tore something, so there's ligament damage, like I said, and we just got to let that heal up. And, I've made a lot of strides, and I definitely am able to move around a lot better than what I was, but, we still got some healing to go.
There's such a thing as come back too early.
Yeah, 1,000%. You come back and you make it worse or have it linger throughout the season, so that's not what we're interested in doing here.
Mike, so look, I think it's going to be a while before he comes back anytime soon. In the meantime, you've also got Jamal Williams. They're looking for him to come back as well. What's the lowdown on Jamal Williams possibly being back for this game?
I just had Jamal Williams run at me at full speed in pads, number 30, got the visor on. He looks like he's good to go. It was 2 weeks ago last night that on his first carry against the Eagles, he's running up the left hash mark there between the guard and the tackle. And one guy's holding him up. And then, you know, the Eagles, Derek Barnett, he's trying to stop his progress, but he ends up drilling him in the ear hole with his helmet. It's a helmet-to-helmet hit. And Jamal went down. Now, Barnett got fined $28,000 for the hit. And we talked to Jamal. Jamal Williams he likes to keep it light. You know, he likes to joke around and have some fun. But we asked him if he saw the tape of his hit.
I seen the hit, but it was just, man, I look like a little fish. I look like a fish out there.
I was like, you didn't feel it?
No. I was like, at least I held on to the ball. Shoot. I was like, yeah, that's me for sure. Hello. But, you know, it was just an experience I don't want to go through again. Don't want to miss games because of it no more. But, just the learning experience, just learn from him, just keep on playing, really. I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful for, just the plan that God has for me, you know. And you just don't know what type of things going to come into your life and what type of obstacles you're going to have. And this is just one you just couldn't avoid. Well, I couldn't avoid at the time. So it's not like I knew he hit me, I'm going to go out, you know. So it's just things that just happen during the game. Don't want to be part of football, but unfortunately it is.
Yeah, unfortunately, I get it, but – the guy that filled in admirably, Mike, without Jamal Williams available was Aaron Jones, and he wanted some additional carries, and he had his moment to shine. Boy, did he.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, there's some columns that are out this morning where people are saying, like, whoa now. You know, with 19 carries and 7 receptions and, what was it, like over 200 yards production and 4 touchdowns on the ground, you know, they got to be careful with Aaron Jones and not, you know, work him too much because he's had this history. He's had the MCLs. He had a hamstring lesion. I don't get that because the fact is he's had limited reps since he's been in Green Bay. They didn't go to the running game enough. And, you know, you talk to some safeties and they say, you know, when Aaron Jones is that hot, guess what it does? It moves the safety from going over on top of Devontae or whoever your number one receiver is, and they got to get back in more to the box because and that's what worked against Dallas. When you run Aaron Jones up the inside zone like that, it had to pull in those safeties, and that helped open things up on the outside. I mean, this is what's been missing from Green Bay's attack for the last couple of years because it was always so pass, and matchups. I thought it was an interesting fact, too, that one of the guys had the other day was that on, you know, LaFleur talks about third down efficiency, that they're not doing well on third down. They're actually one of the lowest in the league. They're there with like the Redskins and the Jets for third down conversion, even though they're a 3-1 team, 4-1 team right now in the NFL. And part of it is because of penalties that happen and maybe not very good on first down. But actually going into the Cowboys game on first down, the Packers had 63 run plays and 63 pass plays. And so that's a, you know, that's a balance that you're looking for. Do you think Aaron Jones is being overused and that, you know, he could end up having an injury if they use him like that every week?
Well, do I? It's a possibility. Sure. He's been banged up in the past. That's one of the things he wanted to avoid. Remember, that was the reason he wanted to add muscle and shred the fat in the offseason so he was able to absorb some of this punishment and put on a few pounds. And he said while he didn't get real heavy, he got bigger and he got more padding and he's got more muscle. And he said, you know, to us that he wants the ball more. But one of the scouts actually had told me, like, look, he's also got a very unique way, the way he's kind of changed his run style, or I don't know who worked on him with it, but he kind of dips his shoulders and moves sideways. He's not taking as many direct hits anymore. Uh-huh. So unless he gets spun around and twists a knee or twists an ankle, he's not trying to deliver punishment anymore. He's not taking direct hits, and that'll prolong him.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't had that much work in the past and had these MCLs and those kinds of things. And so to me, it's like, I don't know if 20 carries a game is a sure injury death for Aaron Jones. I think it gets to, you know, when I watched the 49ers the other night, and man, the way Kyle Shanahan's executing that offense, these are the plays I've seen, but they're doing it to perfection in there. And when their fullback is in the lead and knocking out people, and I'd like to see, you know, they need to step it up with Danny Vitale a little bit as a lead blocker, you know, to spring Aaron Jones. So, you know, Aaron has this great day. Joe was with me, had a chance to talk to Aaron after the game where he talked about, you know, when's the last time you ever scored 4 touchdowns in a game? And about that touchdown when he's going off to the left-hand side in the end zone, he's scoring, and Byron Jones, the Cowboys cornerback, is there. And Aaron just kind of looks back and puts his hands up and waves bye-bye to him. And he talked about that.
I think my last college game. Okay. But other than that, I mean, I haven't scored 4 touchdowns that many times, more so in high school, but never at this level. So it was, I was just in a zone. I didn't even realize I did it until I come off the field. And coach was like, you know, you just wait, Bob. I was like, no, I was just kind of in the zone. But no disrespect to him. He's a great player.
I'm faster than a 4.50 too, because Byron Jones is like a 4.3. So I'm just putting that out there.
All is fun when things are good and you're winning. You know what I mean?
And you score 4 touchdowns in front of 30 family members and friends right there.
You better believe it.
That end zone, yeah.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll look at the Lions side of things, getting you ready for the Monday night game at Lambeau Field. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. We got a lot more coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the history and the, you know, tradition of that organization, that franchise, you feel it when you walk into the stadium. You know, you just kind of have that sense of the history of the game. You know, I mean, obviously, I think they're the third oldest franchise in the NFL right now. So, you know, it's pretty great to walk into a rivalry like we have, you know, with the two organizations and be a part of that. You try to bring too much of that in, you're going to lose focus on what's really important, and that's just getting ready to play this game this week. You know, whatever's been in the past is in the past. I'm worried about the Packers now.
Those are the words of Matt Patricia, head coach for the Detroit Lions. Detroit getting ready to come into Lambeau Field Monday night. They've had almost 2 weeks to kind of rest up, relax, and prepare for this coming game. And the Packers, in the meantime, have played more than a few games in the last couple of weeks. And they are without their top wide receiver coming into this contest. And just, you know, trying to kind of each and every week reformulate themselves. Now they've got a run game. They've showed some, you know, throws to the tight ends. Who knows what they're going to do against this particular game. And in the meantime, you also have to shut down Matt Stafford, who at times will play really, really well and look like the quarterback he's supposed to be. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio and our Green and Gold Insider joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And, you know, Matt Stafford, Mike, last few games against the Packers played pretty well.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the Packers are 0-4 right now with the Detroit Lions. And at the end of that game last year, the Lions, it was under their first-year head coach, Matt Patricia. He was the defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. He's a really sharp guy. He was actually in aerodynamics in his mid-20s when he quit a really well-paying job and became an assistant coach and raced up through the ranks through the Patriots team around 2002 and became, you know, their defensive coordinator with the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And then we got to talk to him then. So then he takes over with the Lions organization. They finished last year 6-10. But you'll remember at the end of last year, you know, you got Joe Philbin as the interim coach of the Packers for the last four games of the season. They won a game that Aaron Rodgers says, we need to get this win because we need to get at least one win on the road this year in this horrible season they had last year for the Packers did. And they went into overtime with the Jets. It was a fun game. It was a great game. And I think that, you know, a lot of guys like Marquez Valdez-Scantling and, you know, those first-year receivers, guys like Aaron Jones, they learned a lot in that game about, you know, getting into overtime and what it means to win. Then the next week, they're at home to finish out the season against the Lions. Rodgers goes down with a concussion. DeShone Kizer comes in. He's 3-out. And Tremont Williams essentially said, I can't believe this, but we had, like, no energy today. We just – the guys gave up. You know, there's a new coach coming in, and they quit. And I thought that was really dangerous. That there's a lot of these guys are coming back. You know there's going to be a new coach coming in. And you lose 31-0 to the damn Detroit Lions. And that's – remember, there was a record there where the Lions had not won a game in Wisconsin for 25 years? That's all out the window now.
Mm-hmm.
And after the game, Matt Patricia, he before he could do his press conference, and just right after he talked to his team, I could see that the Lions administration says, Mrs. Ford wants to talk to you. So he's got to come down there and talk to Grandma Martha Ford. You know, she's like 93 or something. She was Martha Firestone. The Firestones and the Fords. You know, she married a Ford, and that's how. And then her husband died years ago, and now she's running the team. And so it was weird to see a head NFL coach like Matt Patricia have to come in there and be fed a bunch of stats from his PR department. Like, yeah, I guess this is like the biggest win that the Lions have had over the Packers, you know, in over 50 years and blah, blah, blah. You know, and he's like, hey, he has to suck up to his boss. And I was standing right there as this was going on. You know, if you're working for Mark Murphy or even Jerry Jones or these other kinds of owners, they know that, you know, they evaluate that, but that's the weird thing about working for the Bears or the Lions. Still, there's a really good piece that's on the NFL Network called A Lifetime of Sundays. And it talks about some of these women that are owners, like down with the Chiefs, another team you're going to face. And it's got a great background history on the ownership of these teams and how much passion they put into it. And one other thing is that in our trip to Dallas, Joe and I went to the Star.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is, Bills, here, Jerry Jones, all these owners, they try to eliminate all the excuses as to why we're not a Super Bowl team. And these are the places I've had a chance to visit on these road trips. If you go to Atlanta, it's Arthur Blank, who built Home Depot. Very successful businessman. Mm-hmm. Wanted everything he did. He practically runs Atlanta. He builds Flowery Branch north of Atlanta. State-of-the-art facilities. And he got to a Super Bowl, you know, almost beat the Patriots a couple of years ago. Then you go to Minneapolis, and it's Ziggy Wolf who built Target. All these guys, what they do in business is tremendous. But they just built a brand new state-of-the-art facility that I think is probably better than what Green Bay's got now in Eagan, Minnesota. So the offices are there. It draws free agents. It helps. You know, they got the best conditioners and trainers. Eliminate every excuse they can. And yet at the end of the day, if you don't have the right coach and the right quarterback, you're not going to be able to hold one of those championship trophies. And it's just, I've had more access to these owners and some of these teams lately. And then so now we see what Jerry Jones has done in Frisco. This is like 3 years old now, $1.5 billion. And it looks like Titletown, brand new offices, brand new sports and health research center, venues where they can, you know, lease out to companies or make money on their own. Big field there, AstroTurf Field, where kids can play football. It's an attraction, you know, year round. It's, you know, it's off the grounds. It adds to just besides what you do at the stadium to raise money. And so, in other words, all the things that Mark Murphy has done with Titletown, man, they're spot on.
Mm-hmm.
The competition is there. They've got, I mean, and Joe, you saw, you were impressed by the Star as well in Dallas, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it really does resemble Titletown. And that's what a lot of these teams, when they have a lot of money, they want to take advantage of much as they can. And, I mean, I was just, I mean, blown away. It's like you look to your left, you look to your right, there's restaurant after restaurant. They got a super cool team store. You walk in, they got all these mannequins dressed up with all these different college and high school football teams. And, I mean, it's just, I mean, you talk about making it big. That's what Jerry Jones is all about, and he did just that. I mean, it was so cool to see all that in person, Mike, but at the same time, none of it surprises me because – that's how Jerry Jones is.
So, in other words, these teams the Bucks in the Deer District as well. You know, all these things that they build around the stadiums that are revenue streams for the team. And still, at the end of the day, if you don't pick the right coach and the right quarterback, or you know, the right point guard, whatever the sport is, it's interesting to see how frustrating it is for these guys when you ride down the elevator with them. Like, they've done everything they can, spent billions of dollars, and still. Still, they can't get to the postseason, but the Lions hope that they can. They had a great game against the Chiefs, a couple of turnovers, a couple of penalties, and they should have been able to beat the Chiefs on the road. And they'd like to get to 3-1-1 on Monday night against Green Bay. And here's what Matt Stafford had to say.
Yeah, you know, all the games, you know, count. No doubt a division game against a really good football team. It's going to be a fun atmosphere. You know, Monday night will be a whole bunch of fun. We'll have some young guys that I'm sure first time playing on Monday night will remember it for a long time at Lambeau. It's pretty cool for them. Just excited to get out there and play again. You know, the week off is great, but it's football season. I'm ready to go play. Yeah, sometimes.
Do you watch a lot of football, or do you kind of just get away?
Yeah, I do. You know, get away during the week, and then if there's good games on college football, watch a little bit of that, and then maybe a little bit of pro football as well.
So there you go. That's Matt Stafford. Let's do this. Mike, one more segment in you?
Sure.
Let's do that. Let's come back. Mike Clemens, our NFL insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hang in there. By the way, Mike's presence and vocal tones are brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Check them out at visitpaysbig.com. Visitpaysbig.com and see for yourself what Pottawatomie Hotel Casino is all about. Mike Clemens, up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Glad you are here. Thanks so much, as always. We certainly appreciate it. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show before we get out of here. Hey, note, it's not what you think, because it says Monday Night Football not sold out. And we all know Lambeau Field's kind of sold out. But what happened was the Lions, they get an allotment of tickets to sell. They didn't sell them. So they sent them back. So now there are tickets available for the Monday night contest between the Lions and the Packers. So it's not what you think. It's not like all of a sudden Packers fans just didn't buy them. It's that Lions fans didn't buy them. So therefore, there are some tickets available coming up. You go to Ticketmaster.com and you can get the tickets there. Go to the Packers website and all that kind of good stuff. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So when you see the headline, Mike, tickets available, it's not because Packers fans are lame. It's more so because Lions fans just don't want to travel on a Monday night.
Yeah, it's going to be a little cold out there, too, and they're used to their indoors at Ford Field.
Yes,
so,
yes.
That's what you get
they're
with
dainty.
Detroit yes. Kitty fans. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
No doubt.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Aaron Rodgers, I was just going to get right back into it, but Aaron Rodgers, excited, I think, more so than anything. That might be the best word for it. For one, he said at the beginning of the season, we got a defense, and now he doesn't have to be the leader and the guy that's the voice of everything anymore. He's got some guys on the other side of the football and Za'Darius and Preston that are kind of getting it done.
Well, Aaron Rodgers has never touted himself as a vocal leader. Remember, he even said that during when they won the Super Bowl. It's, you know, Charles Woodson's that guy. I'm not that guy. You know, he's just not that way. Said some positive things about Matt LaFleur, about how well he's preparing this team each week. He said he has command of the room when he installs the offense, that he's a grinder, a hard-working guy. So, you know, every week, I actually know that there was Packers front office people in there down in Dallas who were talking to network people about, would you just knock it off with the, you know, fights between LaFleur and Rodgers and that guy. That story's old, it's stale, you know, move on. So I know that even the Packers front office is trying to get people off that story. But there's no question, you know, the identity, like if you did a Sports Illustrated cover on the Packers, it would probably have Za'Darius and Preston Smith, the Smith brothers, on the cover. And so Aaron was asked, does that help you out as a team leader?
Well, I think it definitely takes some of the pressure off. You know, when we have such great leadership, especially on the defense side of the ball, you know, allows me to really focus on the needs of my guys on offense. And, you know, again, I mentioned those teams in 9, 10, 11. We had phenomenal leadership on defense, and it was led by Charles Woodson. And I never had any doubts about those guys being ready to play. And with the leadership that we have on defense now, with the older guys and like Z and Preston and Adrian and Blake and some of the younger guys, like I mentioned after the game, you know, Jair stepping up and being a bigger leader, and Kenny Clark, it really does take a lot of that leadership onus pressure off of me when you got other guys standing next to you. I love what Matt did with year-long captains. It gives, again, you know, some what's the right word? It just gives the authority, I think, for those guys to step into that leadership role. And Z was nominated for defense, and it just kind of cements his opportunity to speak and be respected, because he's earned that from day one when he got here. But it really, I think, impacts and gives a lot of strength to those guys in those situations.
Then you got guys up front, Mike, talking about the captains, but you got guys that are filling in, guys that are trying to kind of make a name for themselves. You take a guy like Corey Linsley out of the mix, Lucas Patrick goes in. You know, there's been some changeover up front, and they have had some injuries to some key positions.
Yeah, Lucas Patrick talked about filling in for Corey Linsley, and that he said that Linsley and Rodgers are at such an elite level with their communication, but they've had a couple of snaps. They've had 2,000 snaps together. I mean, Linsley hasn't missed time since 2016, and now he's out with a concussion. He's been limited in practice this week. I don't know if he'll be ready to go on Monday night, but there Lucas Patrick is thrown into the mix, and you know, he had a couple of snaps to the wrong Aaron. He snapped them back to Aaron Jones. But he thought, you know, it was great that he was able to just make it look like it was a wildcat play and covered for him. But Lucas Patrick also talked about the time that Aaron Rodgers came to him during training camp and said, listen, man, you know, he was having ups and downs and didn't know if he was going to be able to make the team. And Rodgers took him aside and said, you know, I'm a guy that believes, you know, and remember Aaron Rodgers said, if you can make it as the backup center of the team, you've made the roster. And so that helped out Lucas Patrick. And then on safety, earlier today, or on defensive back, you know, you're talking about Jair Alexander. Is he top five? I've been a big fan of the kid. I mean, he had 6 deflected passes as a rookie in that game against the Rams last year, a game that they ended up losing. He had the pick, nice pick to start off things, and literally changed the momentum of the game early on against the Cowboys. But then a couple of snaps later, you see Amari Cooper get him to bite on a simple old-fashioned down, out, and down. And, you know, that's how, you know, Cooper got that big touchdown pass on him. So, you know, Jair is still learning. I don't know who the best, the top five corners are in the league right now. I think they're all wearing Patriots jerseys, quite frankly. I turned that secondary again last night. But what I'm really excited about is guys that are backing up, like Shandon Sullivan, who got that pick last week and told me he's playing the slot corner. They call it the hook. And he lines up 12 yards off the line in between the numbers and the sidelines. And when the running back is coming out into the flats, he looked at him and made Dak Prescott think, oh, I'm going to go for it. And that's when Dak Prescott then went and threw, trying to throw a post to Randall Cobb. And Shandon said, I was baiting Dak. I knew the play. I knew where Cobb was coming. And I made it look like I was going to bite on the running back coming out to the sideline. And as soon as Prescott threw it, I leaped over to the other side and pulled a ball that was perfectly thrown and headed to Cobb. And that's how he got his pick. These are backup guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. Another one has really jumped out, and I've been talking about him, is Will Redman, a guy that actually been drafted by the 49ers, had an ACL in college. But Goody brought him in last year, put him on practice squad, and now when Darnell Savage Jr. goes down with a high ankle sprain, he plays three quarters, gets a bunch of key sacks, could have had an interception if they hadn't been called for a face-to-hands penalty. And I talked to him about how big a game he had, not only in the secondary, but on special teams.
That might have been my first game playing that much as a pro. It felt great. It was my first game coming. It was a coming out party for me. I'm excited. I got a lot more to offer. That was the biggest thing, just playing fast. You know what's coming. Proper preparation. Preparing like you're the number one guy. You never know what's going to happen. Just preparing every day and doing the right thing and being in the right place. So when it's your time, you know, you be ready. Coming in, I was at corner. So I kind of understand that spot. Then I moved to nickel, understand that spot. So the movement kind of helps me a lot, especially being in the back end at safety. So what everybody doing around me, from corner, nickel, linebacker, the same positions, and being at safety, that's one thing I can say that really helps me out a lot, knowing where all my teammates at the right time. Knowing what to do is trustworthy, so sure.
And was Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith playing so well, is that taking the pressure off of the rookie first-round pick, Rashawn Gary?
Man, I'm here to play ball, man. Pressure, we into the season. I'm not worried about none of that, man. Football's football. I'm here to play football. And, you know, having, you know, P and Z, you know, leading the way, I'm happy to join that. And I told him I would be part of the fun. So, you know, just say something for me when I get there.
Does it mean anything to play Detroit this week as a Michigan guy?
Man, I'm just happy to be part of the Green Bay Packers, man. We 4-1, and we on it this week, and that's what we focused on, the Lions.
Is that you biting your tongue right
Yeah.
now? Nah, it's me chewing some gum, man.
Good stuff, Mike. Appreciate it. Time for us to go. Have a go. Shoot!
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.